We'll only be looking at one verse in Revelation 21:5. We'll ask for the Spirit's guidance. Our Lord and our God, as we come before you as a body of believers, I just pray, O Lord, that you do reveal something new to us this morning. That you give us a gift, a portion of maturity that we have not had when we came here. A stronger portion of faith. A stronger reliance on you, Lord. I pray, O Lord, that I represent you properly. In Jesus' name, amen. Revelation 21:5. And he who was seated on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." Also he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." You may be seated. As we look at these verses, I want you to remember what Pastor Gap has been preaching about. How God is reigning now. We don't have to wait for him to reign. He's not sitting on the sidelines. He's reigning now. He has been reigning. He will be reigning. And he will remain reigning until he comes back. You know, as we look at the end of the year, in the coming year, I want us to look at this coming year through the lens of Christianity and what the Bible teaches us, teaches what we are, who we are, the promises we have, the power we have.
The power within us, the Holy Spirit within us.
Yeah, this is revealed to John when he saw the new heavens, the new earth. But our God is reigning now. He's with us now. Yes, that will be a glorious time when there is no more pain, no suffering, no sorrow. No more struggle with sin. But our God does not change. We are the ones who are changed at that period of time with the new bodies, the completely renewed minds. Right now, we do have that struggle with sin. But it does not mean that God does not reign in our lives, because he does. If you are a new believer, a believer in Christ, it is what he has done to you. It's not what we did to ourselves. It's what he has done to you. It's irrevocable. It will never be taken back. We are changed. And with our parts, what I want for this year is us to have grateful hearts that come to him and say, "Because you changed me, Lord, how may I serve you?" We were new when we were born. We were God's creation. He knit us together in the mother's womb. He created us. There was no man. God did not need us. It was out of his good pleasure. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. A new creation, new to this earth. man. Each and every one of you were individually created by God. Brought about by God. He knit you together in the mother's womb. Furthermore, he knit you together in his image. So we have great value in God's eyes. And that is just because he created us. You know, in Genesis 1:31, and God saw everything that he made, and behold, it was very good. There was evening and there was morning the sixth day. You know, we're a marvel of creation. These bodies we reside in, you know, they're far too majestic for us mere mortals to ever completely understand. It's a marvel how these bodies function and work, how they heal, how they're renewed. It's just a marvel. But it's a new creation, a creation given by God. You know, he says, behold, he is making all things new. New life. New life, a gift to parents. New life, God's creation. We are his greatest handiwork. He has given us dominion over his creation. Psalm 8, when I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him, yet you have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You have given him dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet. That should humble us. How God trusts his creation, mankind, to rule over this spectacular creation around us, this home we call Earth, which, by the way, was new also. There was nothing but God. Yet God knew that man needed a place to live, and he created this beautiful blue planet, as it's called, that we call home. Psalm 89:11, the heavens are yours. The earth also is yours, the world and all that is in it. You have founded them. He founded them for us, for our pleasure as well as his. And this planet is a wonder of creation. This universe is a wonder of creation. Look at the multitude of animals and plants he has given us for food and for pleasure. You know, we live in a spectacular time. We can take our smartphones and see the depths of the ocean and the universe and explore it all right at our fingertips. The majestic images are spectacular. But it shows what a loving God our God is. We have to see the spiritual ramifications in all of his creation. How smoothly and precisely it runs. It's a demonstration of his majestic power, his control. And it makes us realize how different he is than us, how unique. He is far greater than man. Psalm 8:3, when I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon, the stars, which you have set in place. He has set them in place. Why so many stars? Why so many galaxies? It's because of, in Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God. And the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words whose voice is not heard. Their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom leaving his chamber, and like a strong man runs its course with joy. Its rising is from the end of the heavens, and its circuit to the end of them, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. You know, the glory of creation is this revelation to mankind about what a great God we serve. His greatness demonstrates every day to us when that sun comes up. It's to show what a mighty God we have. How God is in control. We take it for granted that the sun comes up. We take it for granted the seasons, the rains. It's God caring for man. But it helps us to recognize our place in creation. Romans 1:20, for his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made, so they are without excuse. Saints, we were made for God. We are made to give God glory. And you know, this is a new thing. There wasn't man to give him glory. God created man to give him glory, to reflect his glory. Isaiah 43:19, everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. The wild beast will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches, for I give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to give drink to my chosen people, the people whom I formed for myself, that they might declare my praise. Can it get any clearer than that, why we're created? For his glory and to praise him. But you know what? We are the ones who benefit when we do that. When we recognize him as God, when we praise him and glorify him, when we submit to him as our Lord and Master, we are the ones who benefit. Benefit from his promises. And again, it's his promises for this life and the life beyond. He's ruling now. He loves his children now. He tells us, for I know, in Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare, not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. That's here and now, folks. He's not talking eternity. In John 15:11, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. That was when he was walking among men. The here and now he was talking about. that your joy may be full. He's telling that he wants us to know that we truly are blessed. We're blessed because the Holy Spirit abides within us, which is something new for the believer. We are enemies of God. When we submit to Him, that battle is already won. That war is over. We are now friends with God. We are part of the new covenant, the covenant of grace under the second Adam, who gives us that new spiritual transformation, a transformation which is based solely on His promises, His covenant. We are now under His covenant head. And that peace with God, that peace with God will never be invalidated. We may hinder the growth, we may grieve the Holy Spirit, but our God will not cast us aside. It's because we didn't have a part in that covenant. It was by His grace. He gives grace to whom He chooses. Jesus fulfilled that covenant perfectly for us. Again, it will not be broken. Our effectiveness and how much we love Him will be on how we trust in those promises. How we rely on the Holy Spirit and trust that our God is ruling now, that He is maturing us now. It tells us He will lose none that He has chosen. You know, Spurgeon states it clearly. Today, believers are not under the covenant of if thou doest, this thou shalt live. But under that new covenant which says, their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. It is not now do and live, but live and do. We think not of merit and reward, but of free grace, producing holy practices as a result of gratitude. What law could not do, grace has accomplished. That is His greatest gift, His new gift for those, His gift of grace to those who believe. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. A new heart, a new desires, new goals will now dictate our lives. Saints, this is a supernatural event. You are a new creation, a second creation in your life. Our sanctification is through the Holy Spirit working in us, maturing us. Salvation is through God who loved us while we were yet sinners. We are no longer at enmity with God. We are at peace. We are part of His family. In Romans 8:29, for those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son in order that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom He predestined, He also called. And those whom He called, He also justified. And those whom He justified, He also glorified. Again, all this only occurs in those who believe. believe in that new creation where the Holy Spirit now dwells. Again, God giving us that new life, new desires. And we are continually being transformed by that Holy Spirit. When you are in Christ, you are growing whether you recognize it or not. You are being transformed. He is preparing you. In Romans 8 and 9, you, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Jesus Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Do you feel that new power? The Holy Spirit dwelling in you? Do you desire the Scriptures? Do you desire prayer? Perhaps at one time Christianity seemed foolish to you, but no longer. Are you here because you love God? That's because the Holy Spirit is drawing you close to him. Yeah, we'll have that tension. We have that old sin nature living within us, but that is a blessed thing that we feel that tension, that war in our members. It's a sign that the Holy Spirit is fighting for his rightful place. I caught myself for self. His rightful place in our lives, dominating the old man, suppressing that sin nature. One of the promises of God is that he who started the good work in us will complete it. You know, we may get weary. We may lose the zeal we had as a new believer. We may succumb to sin, grasping on of our old ways of life. And they may burden us down. They burden many believers down. But the Holy Spirit is still at work in us. The Holy Spirit makes each day new. New for the believer. The Holy Spirit will remove those unnecessary burdens as we mature in faith. We are a people for his own possession. That is where we must start, that we are a people made for God. We are to delight in praise and worship to our God, which will compel you to renew your love for God and recognize that his word is sufficient for all of life, this new life working within us. You know, there's many shiny objects in this world that we're drawn to. Many are good. Many are good and godly things. Many are distractions from Satan. Many become our idols. We grasp them too tightly. But as we mature, as the Holy Spirit works in us, He gives us the ability to let go of the things that are hindering us. Let go of the shiny objects of this world that we clung to far too long, thinking that they would give us the happiness that we want. We must not be satisfied with staying on the lower levels of salvation, thinking that, well, I'm going to get in, that's all I want out of it. No, we should strive for maturity and say, now that I'm in this family of God, how may I serve it? How does God want me to serve it? How does He want me to mature in it? God can use the worst in us to advance His kingdom. He's working in us now. We may not recognize it. We may not know, or we may be confused, thinking, well, what is God doing in my life? I don't have a clue. Where is He taking me? Why is He putting me through this trial or that trial? If that's where you're at in life, that's a good place. We may not know what God will have us do this year, next year, or the year after, but you know what? We don't have to. God knows it. Romans 8, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groaning too deep for words. And He who searches hearts knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that for those who love God, all things will work together for good for those who are called according to His purpose. The Spirit knows. And if we're just faithful in taking the steps, attending worship, learning, striving to mature, striving to serve God, God will get you to the end where He wants you. And there is a plan. There's been a plan from all eternity for your life. That's why you're here right here. That's why you were born in this point of time. That's why you're at this church or hearing this message. It's because God has a plan. And He's working it out. Ephesians 2:10, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. It's not by chance that you're here. It's not by chance that you're burdened by the things of the world around us. It's designed by God that He can use you at this time of history to advance His kingdom. We must seek out these custom works that God has for us as individuals, what He is preparing us to walk in. What task does He want us to do to affect our church, our cities, our states, our nation, the world? Our personal lives. Sin will surround us. There's been many sins in the world. There always will be. Trials will come and go. We see just by the prayer list every week. that still keeps us on the course of saying, how may we serve? Because the Holy Spirit gives us the ability to get through all of these trials, all of these difficulties, even when the situations seem overwhelming. How overwhelmed do you think Paul felt when he was whipped, shipwrecked, persecuted? Yet he saw the glory in God through all of that and how God was in control of it. Yes, even in the persecutions. Saints, we have the solution. We have the correct godly response in every situation as we mature and we seek out God. And we strive to do His will. Yeah, there will be difficulties. There will be trials in our lives. John 15:26, but when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, He will bear witness about Me. We have that Helper with us. When we rely on the Holy Spirit to help us in these decisions of life, which will come, we all face them. New decisions, new circumstances in life. Andy, Brianna, they have a baby. New circumstances of life. We lost our dear friend Frank. New circumstances of life. Paul and Sue's mom. New circumstances. How do we deal with it? God gives us those capabilities. The Helper has come. The Helper is helping us now because God is ruling now. He's ruling in His people. And for some reason, God is allowing individual persecutions, individual trials that every family faces. But that Holy Spirit is here with us. The Holy Spirit has been with the church throughout all history. Our God is reigning now. We see the conflict in our nations. If our nation falls and folds, who knows? Many have in the past. It does not mean that God is folding or falling. Many times nations are punished for their sins. But God is there for His people. Our God is reigning, and the circumstances of life does not negate that. When we cling to those promises, when we understand as we mature as believers that we will have trials, we will have difficulties, but Jesus has overcome the world, we will not be crushed by these new changes that occur. In John 14:15, if you love Me, you will keep My commandments, and I will ask the Father, and He will give you another Helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. You know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. It's a promise from God. As believers, that Spirit will never leave us. Our friends may depart from us. Loved ones may die, but that Spirit will be with us, the Comforter. It is that Comforter that gives us a purpose in life. How to serve our King under all circumstances. Our task is, how will we use the wisdom that God has given us, the influence of the Holy Spirit? What will we do to strive to mature in our faith, to be effective for the kingdom of God in spite of all circumstances, so that we can affect our families, our towns, our cities, to promote His kingdom? Tells us in 1 Corinthians, so whatever you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. I fail at that. I'm trying to get better. I think all of us rely on His promises this year, in spite of the difficulties that we see in our nation, just the difficulties we see in the families here, and know that our God is reigning now. He makes all things new. Tomorrow will be a new day with its troubles and its trials. It'll be a new day for the Holy Spirit to give us wisdom and guidance to get through it. And every day, that Spirit will be there for us. Let us pray. Our Lord and our God, as we come into the new year, I just pray that you mature us. Help us to be those people that have a peace that surpasses all understanding, and a joy that knows that we know that we are being used by God, that we are loved by God, and that God is building His church through us, and His church will advance in spite of the circumstances around it. Lord, teach us to be mature Christians, to serve you. In Jesus' name, amen.